Hi there, and welcome to this new podcast series I called Deeper. You may be familiar already with my meditation and visualization podcast series, and that's where I take you through a multi-sensory experience within each of those unique episodes, and those cover a specific theme and special sensory experience. This new podcast series, Deeper, takes those themes into a different level of exploration, and we're going to continue to build upon and then further consider a few other aspects that weren't covered in the meditation and visualization. So I will be diving into this new Deeper podcast series and offering you some new insights for you to consider and ponder as you connect the dots with what the discussion brings up in your current life. So really, this is an invitation into another level of self-inquiry, and I always believe that information is power. And one of the most empowering things that we can do for ourselves is to become more aware of our own unique natures. And I really love this phrase that the Greeks focused on, and it's a philosophy, it's know thyself, and it's a whole lifetime of unpacking and exploring who we really are, and it's a mystery that we never seem to get to the bottom of. And it's like the final frontier, spending time to get to know ourselves in the many different aspects. So what is awesome, I think, about this new Deeper series is that if you haven't listened to any of the meditation and visualization episodes, really no problem. For these two series were created to stand alone, as each of the podcast series offers insights and ways to connect with yourself and explore and gain new perceptions about your own patterns of relating and behaving in the world. And know too that these podcasts also dovetail with each other, as in if you decide you want to follow up and listen to the connected meditation and visualization that goes along with this topic and theme, then you can enhance your experience with this material further. It's really up to you. And I invite you now to explore this Deeper podcast episode. And today's theme is on fiery elements, specifically as they relate to the metaphor of a volcano. The related meditation and visualization podcast episode that goes along with this as a separate building block is called Fire Island. And I will mention this information at the end of the podcast so you can make a note if you would like then. So let's get started. And just start to imagine that as we talk about an overview of a volcano, there's some simple key things about a volcano. Most volcanoes have a volcano crater at the top, and when a volcano is active, materials come out of it. And the materials can include things like lava, steam, you know, different kinds of gases and sulfur compounds. Sometimes there's ash and broken rock pieces even. And when there's enough pressure, a volcano can erupt. And so we're going to unpack this step by step, and we're going to start at the bottom of the volcano and imagine that's where the dormancy and the dormant phase is. So a volcano can also, if you just think of it this way, lie dormant, which means it's inactive. And in some large volcanoes, there can be thousands of years that go by that a volcano is in a state of dormancy. I suggest that there are some really interesting things that we can learn from the elements associated with volcanoes and their activity, and how they can relate to our own human nature in ways that may be similar. So we will explore these four phases of a volcano today, and I just mentioned dormancy. We'll also talk about venting and eruptions, and also talk about a volcano's crater. And then, you know, the interplay of how all of these four can relate to your everyday lives. So let's start with exploring the definition of dormancy as it pertains to us as humans. So dormancy as a definition for us is the state of having normal physical functions that are suspended or slowed down for a period of time, almost like a deep sleep, so to speak. So have you ever felt that something is lying dormant within you that wants to be woken up? Well, me too, and other people that I've worked with have felt this. And as we start to unpack this, I invite you to think of ways in which you could arouse yourself out of dormancy in some area in your life. What kind of arousal would entice some aspect of you out of dormancy. And keep in mind that this word arousal is something that is an invitation to get some energy around something, to get it activated, as one thing to consider. At ground zero, where we're starting to explore this idea about dormancy, what lies dormant within you? Sometimes it's easier to see what is lying dormant and what lies in the potential of another person. It's a challenge sometimes for us to source our own potential of what we can tap into that is lying dormant within us. I suggest one of the things you could do is you could wade in and ask a friend or a loved one what they think is a positive aspect that they think lies dormant within you, but would be awesome for you to cultivate and bring more alive. Another point of discovery that you could think about, the second point, is do you have a suspicion already that you are seemingly somehow sleepwalking in some area in your life or where you feel you are asleep, so to speak? Sometimes just asking yourself this question and then letting it percolate for a day or two and then journaling about it can yield some interesting new insights. Another thing that you could try and experiment with is, can you list one thing that you may sell yourself short on in regards to something that is dormant within you that you kind of poo-poo somehow from arousing it or getting it activated? Another thing that you can explore is list one or two positive words or phrases that you could start saying to yourself in order to help encourage yourself to explore new territory as it relates to activation of a dormant place in order to come alive within you or into your life. And imagine if you came up with those words or phrases and you had them on a yellow sticky in different places around your house or even in your wallet that you could remind yourself and say out loud. That would be a very positive and powerful practice. Another final point in regards to dormancy here is, what is one small, doable step that you can take to keep yourself accountable to a new exploration and to be consistent about it? Okay, now we're going to discuss the volcano in the second phase today, and it's in relationship to venting. Have you ever felt like you were under pressure and needing some way to vent? And there was so much to hold on to and you just needed and knew that you needed a release and to get something outside of you or off your chest. Well, me too, and many people that I've worked with. If we think about venting, what ways do you vent now that are helpful in helping you to release and bring you a sense of coming back into kind of equilibrium or balance? Take note of what does work, and it can be as simple as reminding yourself that you do have tools or spiritual practice or even a physical exercise that you know does help you. And the next time that you're feeling and notice yourself heading towards feeling a great deal of pressure building up within you, you can remind yourself that you do actually have some strategies at work. And in that moment of being consciously aware, you can pull yourself back and look again, you write down some notes that you have handy that you can access that quickly helps to bring you back into realizing you do have some strategies to help you let off some steam. I also want to point out that, there are some things that you have the ability to control and contain and manage within yourself in order to be more conscious of setting up that strategy and then reminding yourself. So if you do some prep work and you have something handy, you can very quickly bring yourself back into reminding yourself you do have some great tools. Thirdly, you can set an intention. And I love this because, you know, steam is not a bad thing. Sure, we can get scorched and scalded if we're too close to some really hot steam coming off, like a volcano, for example, or when we're letting off steam, we can spew all kinds of words or things that could be quite hot and, you know, can burn. So I also think there's a really positive piece around steam, because we do need to fuel our lives and to have some energy and fuel to move ourselves forward. Like if you're a train, you need to have, if you're a steam train, you need to have some steam to run your engine. And I also love the play of thinking of the word esteem, which, you know, there's steam and then esteem, in which, what are some things that you can build on your own confidence to help build some self-esteem in regards to trying something new? And I think you can harness some of this steam. I mean, there is an ebb and a flow to when we need to let off steam and then when we can harness and contain some of the steam to help fuel and give us a sense of energy and momentum and aliveness. So there is a whole flow, and there's a little steam to, you know, on the end of it where it can be scorching hot steam, and it's good to have sometimes steam that's enough to keep you running. And another thing that I encourage you to do is just gauge yourself on a continuum of 0 to 10. And if you think of it as a dial from 0 to 10, and 0 would be where you have low energy. And then, you know, if you were running on really high energy and you had some kind of like really super duper high, like running on dragon's blood, so to speak, that might be a 10. And once you gauge and find out where you fall on that continuum, think of something that you can now bring into your life that would serve to bring you more energy and esteem or steam in order to move you forward, to activate that thing that is dormant that maybe you want to activate now, is one example. You could list one thing that you could do more of that would add to your self-esteem and confidence. Could be something as easy as clearing your head after work by going for a walk. And maybe consider asking yourself if there's a way in which you might try to consciously, or, and maybe consider not consciously, but maybe what is trying to unconsciously sabotage you from establishing a new routine that might get you some more momentum. And if you can become aware of ways in which you might try to hinder yourself, then it gives you a new opportunity to change that. Because once you're able to see something, a pattern that, you know, you're finding you want, it's not effective or it's not helping you, you can have an opportunity to change that and morph it. One of the last things that I want to say about venting, because there's so much to explore with any of these phases, but it's just to start to get you thinking in different ways about these phases and how they can relate to your life. So with this last thing that I want to talk about in regards to steam, is what is a gentle way that you can let off or express your feelings that you haven't tried or been that consistent with, and give yourself permission perhaps to experiment with it. For example, journaling might be a new activity that you haven't tried yet. I guess there's one more thing I want to add in, is notice when other people around you or loved ones or coworkers, you start to notice that they are seemingly steamed up and looking under pressure. You can be aware and give them some space perhaps. And if it's appropriate, you can offer some, you know, support around that, or it might be in regards to suggestions of how they might be able to let off some of their own steam or take care of themselves. So now we're going to move into the topic and the phase around eruptions. And like the volcano, you just can imagine the hot, fiery, molten lava coming out of a volcano when it's really heated, and it can spew molten debris and lava. So we too, as humans, we can also have eruptions. And I like to think of, we can have both positive and, you know, on the other continuum, things that are like hot and fiery eruptions. In the positive vein, you might want to consider, you know, if there have been times in your life where you've had ecstatic eruptions in your life, and it could be great joy, it could be something around something that's made you feel ecstatic, could be where you've erupted into applause or laughter. So keep those kinds of ideas connected to your eruptions, because they're really powerful as well. And it's not just the fiery, hot, molten that is associated with people being angry or explosive, so to speak. And we can all relate to witnessing other people's eruptions in response to things. sometimes that can be really stressful. And sometimes we're not close enough to witnessing the actual event occurring, but we hear about it from the person, for example, or someone else that's witnessed it. So there's different levels of being aware of someone else's eruption or even your own. And the challenge here at this ground zero of eruptions is becoming more aware of when you are feeling activated around a hot, fiery energy of someone, or it could even be yourself, that is seems smoking hot and molten. And is there a way in which you can give yourself permission to back away and give yourself or that person a timeout to cool off? Might be an example. So a cooling off period so that you or the other person can reflect and assess the situation or the event without staying in the situation or having a knee-jerk reaction that can sometimes serve to escalate or further fuel more fiery eruptions. Another thing at this ground zero of eruption is, can you give yourself credit and come up with some examples of when you have left a situation without feeling victimized, and where you left and let yourself cool down? And if you remember that time, can you notice what worked for you? And can you also list some of the tools that you already used and had that helped you to navigate some of those heated situations effectively, or at least in a way that you felt pretty good about? And at this ground zero eruption, you know, just understand that during some of these heated moments, we can symbolically wrap a caution stay back tape, you know, like the kind that the police tape or the CSI, where it's just they put the yellow tape around and it's like caution, don't go there. And that might just be something that you can visually give yourself as a cue to remind yourself that you can, you know, stay back a bit and have a cooling off, depending on what the situation is. You'd have to assess that, and only you know what would be the right reaction. Is there also ways in which you can challenge yourself to experiment with expressing your words about what happened in a heated situation? And, you know, sometimes people can journal or write and just let things come out of them. And then they either, you know, shred it or throw it in the garbage so that it's not seen by anyone. It's just a way of releasing some of the fiery emotions that have erupted. And then, you know, that might just help you to cool off, number one. Number two, it might give you a time to process and to see if there is a time that presents itself where you do have an opportunity then to go and talk to the person or do some care and repair or express yourself in a way in which, number one, if you're calmer and you're more neutral about something, you might be heard and you're also maybe in a better position to hear where another person is coming from. And overall, with the last thing that I want to talk about is the phase around a crater. So volcanoes, you know, they can crater and it's like an implosion where they collapse into themselves once there's been an eruption. And sometimes you can think of when you feel like maybe you've caved or collapsed, when you really wanted to stand firm and say something or have a point of view. And so if you feel like you've catered to someone or you've cratered as in collapsed after an explosion, don't beat yourself up. What I would suggest with any of these things, with the discussion points today, is, you know, you're the boss of you. You have intuition and you also have some great resources that you can tap into if you want to explore some of the things we talked about today. You know, people can be very disruptive and eruptive. So, you know, there's therapists to help with anger management or just to have some new skills around how to not have a knee-jerk reaction. There's spiritual advisors. There's all kinds of resources within your own community or even self-help books that can help you to start unpacking some of these things further. So I just wanted to thank you for spending some of your time with me. And if you are interested in the guided visualization and meditation that goes along with this as a separate building block, I invite you to check that out because it's a multi-sensory experience where you're led through different elements on Fire Island, and you will come to some new perceptions perhaps and some new self-realizations as it relates to some of these topics we've talked about today. So until next time, I wish you well.